It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation the king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. As I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God, by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, or was fitted to us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." Now, this passage, this chapter, if we had to sum it up, would be the writer showing the supersession of the priesthood, or the superiority of the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ over that which was established in Moses' law. Now, the Jews were taught that the commandment that was given to Moses was the law of God. And indeed it was. The Lord gave that law. But that law was not spiritual in essence of it. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a lawgiver, but He came speaking a law in the spiritual sense. The Lord explained that to the Pharisees, who said, well, we have the law. The law says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The rich young ruler said, well, all of these I've kept from my youth up. But the reason that he said that was because he looked at the commandments of Moses as being the law of a carnal commandment. And they were the law of a carnal commandment. But he had no understanding that the law that came from the Lord that was not revealed unto Moses was not specifically concerned in those carnal commandments, but rather was a commandment that was to be written in the heart. So that he said to the Pharisees, thou shalt not steal, but you have stolen in that you have desired the thing someone else had. He said, you've not committed adultery in the flesh, but he said, you've looked upon a woman with lust in your heart, and therefore you have committed adultery. So that the law is summed up in two things. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now that's a far more sweeping law, is it not, than what we read in the Ten Commandments. Now the Ten Commandments do indeed set forth that very principle, but they're not revealed in such fashion. And so he says here for the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he goes on to say, did not arise out of the Mosaic law. Now, sometimes, and those who are what we call covenant theologians, or believe in covenant theology, they do not see that there is a difference between that which is established by Christ and that which is established by Moses. They believe that what was established by Moses is merely carried on in Christ. That which is established in Moses is eternal. But that which is established in Moses was carnal. It is not eternal. And the Lord demonstrated that by the very fact that when Moses himself could not enter into the promised land, he could see it afar off. He went up to Mount Pisgah and he could look out there and he could see it in the distance, but he did not enter it because he could not, because that which is of the law cannot inherit the righteousness of God. But it is that which is of a more superior priesthood that must come to satisfy that law, which is superior to that of Moses. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, but that which is of Christ did. I got kind of ahead of myself here, but that is the theme. That's really the theme of the whole book of Hebrews, is to show the superiority of the ministry of Christ over the ministry of Moses. Now the Jews to this day, and many who call themselves Messianic Jews, they call themselves those who are followers of Christ, but they hold on to the law. And they have kind of a superiority in their mind, whether they would express this or not, that, well, we're, you know, gonna have this, just like these in the book of Galatians did. But the Lord has plainly taught that there is no superiority of anything that can be found in Moses. And because a person adheres to the way of Moses, does not make them superior in any way to those who recognize that our Sabbath, for instance, is in Christ. It's not of a day of the week, but it is Christ Himself. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem. Now, who was Melchizedek? He's a very mysterious character. And I have vacillated in my own thought about Melchizedek practically every time I read about him. And I can't, but I lean towards Melchizedek actually being a pre-incarnate appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ for several reasons, which I'm not going to go into. But the main thing is that the emphasis is placed on the fact that he had no father, he had no mother, he had no ancestry. He is a mysterious character that just appeared out of nowhere. And he appeared with a priesthood. He was a priest. He didn't become a priest. He was a priest. Now, the only one who is a priest and didn't become a priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says that he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, what is the order of Melchizedek's priesthood? Did the Lord Jesus Christ descend from Melchizedek? No, he is Melchizedek. He is that one who is the priest after the order of Melchizedek. That is, after the same fashion as the priesthood of Melchizedek. And so, how did Melchizedek become a priest? He became a priest by the fact that he was a priest. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we go on to read, he was made a priest by an oath. That is, God said, I'm going to redeem my people. Now, the priests of Aaron, the Scripture says of them that they were not made priests by an oath. They were made priests by the law of a carnal commandment. The law said, you're going to be a priest. The law never said to Jesus Christ, you shall be a priest. He's a priest forever. Before ever the law came into being, the Lord Jesus Christ was already the priest of His people. Scripture says that He was that lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world. His priesthood is eternal. It's without beginning. And because it's without beginning, it's without ending. Because only that which is without beginning can be without ending. And that is that one of whom Al has been speaking to us of, that one who is the transcendent God, that one who is that one who has no beginning and no ending. He just is. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is as Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Now, he is the priest of the Most High God. That is, he is of the essence of God. Why? Because he is God. Priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of kings and blessed him. Now, who is it that has the power to bless? It's only the Lord Jesus Christ, because all blessing is in Him. Men don't receive blessings except they come to them through Jesus Christ. All blessings of any type for all creation have come through Jesus Christ. Doesn't make a difference what type of blessing it is, but of course this is speaking about spiritual blessings. Because Abraham, returning from the slaughter of kings, Melchizedek met him. And he gave him a spiritual blessing. And it says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part, a tenth of everything that he had. Now, of course, a lot of people, they use this to try to extract money from people, you know, you ought to tithe, so buddy, here it is. Now, having said that, let's think about that for a moment. Why did Abraham give? Was there a law that told him he had to give a tenth? Not a thing in the world. See, Abraham was before Moses. The Lord didn't talk about any tithing to Abraham. But you see, why did Abraham give to Melchizedek? Because he wanted to. Because he said, you know, it's just right that I should give unto the Lord of those things that He has blessed me with. And such is the basis upon which God's people are to give. Now, it's unfortunate that oftentimes people think that because they are not under a carnal commandment to give, that they get in their mind and the flesh tells them, you don't worry about it. But you see, God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, we don't say that in order to extract money. Now, a lot of people will use that in order to extract money just like it was a carnal commandment. It's not a carnal commandment. But it is incumbent in the work of the Spirit of God in the people of God to cause them to desire to return unto the Lord such things as He has blessed them with. And so Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation King of Righteousness. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Righteousness. There's not another one. And this Melchizedek is called the King of Righteousness. He's the King of Salem. He's the King of Peace. Now, the Lord is our righteousness and He is our peace, is He not? I mean, we have acceptance before the throne of God in the righteousness of Christ. Apart from that righteousness, we couldn't come into the presence of the Lord. Who shall enter into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Now, if I came and I told you that, and that was all I ever told you, would you have good feelings about coming into the presence of the Lord? But yet, people do all every day. Don't they? They say, oh, well, I'm doing all right. Because they look over here at so-and-so, and they say, well, I'm doing a whole lot better than him. I mean, I'm not as wicked as that dude over there. But you see, all of that doesn't make any difference. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, that hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully. You ever done any of those things? Yeah. Probably you might have. You might have. Likelihood is you have. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say you have. And so if he that hath clean hands and a pure heart is the one that's going to enter into the kingdom of God, then who is it that's going to do it? It's going to be somebody with righteousness. There's only one. There's only one who has been tempted in all points yet without sin. And that is the King of Righteousness. That one in whose righteousness we hope to stand. He is the King of Righteousness. And apart from His righteousness, we wouldn't have any. But He's also the King of Peace. Because you see, not only has He established righteousness for His people, but He has declared it. He's manifested it. He's shown it to them. And He has seen fit to bring it forth unto them in the unfolding of the gospel and the revelation of His Spirit to show them that He is that Savior. In fact, that's why we do what we're going to do here this morning is looking at this is because, not because we believe that this is going to give it to us, but because we believe that what He has done is that which would give us peace. And it is a reminder unto us of that which He has done in our behalf. So He is the King of Peace. The King of, as well as the King of Righteousness, without father, without mother, without descent, not having beginning of days nor end of life. Can't be anybody but Christ. Made like unto the Son of God. abideth a priest continually. It doesn't say that Melchizedek's priesthood ever ended, does it? Now, if Melchizedek's priesthood never ended, who could he be? But the Lord Jesus Christ. Because his priesthood is a continual priesthood. Now, consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch gave the tenth of the spoils. Now, he's using this Melchizedek, whom the Jews were aware of, as the illustration. He's showing them by something historically that they knew to be true. He's showing them what the reality of it is. And he is showing the superiority of the priesthood of Melchizedek. He said, now consider how great this man was unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Abraham gave him a tenth of everything that he had gotten. How great of a man would this be? And verily they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood. Now see, nothing tells us Melchizedek ever received the office of priesthood, did it? What's it say? He is a priest forever. That is without beginning. He didn't receive the priesthood. He is a priest. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood. In other words, they become priests because they're born into that tribe who receive the priesthood. They have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Now you see, that's what the law demanded, the tithe of the people, and the Levites were the ones that got that tithe. They have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. So, they have this commandment, a carnal commandment, to take this money, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. Now, Abraham gave tithes to somebody who, the Scripture says, he lives. That is, he doesn't die. And yet the Levites, the law of a carnal commandment, what does it do? It gives tithes to men who are going to perish. And all of those things that Moses has commanded the Jews to do, they have perished. Now, not that that law has ceased to be, but it dies every time a man dies, because that's not going to do him any good. All that the law can do is minister condemnation to a man. Can you imagine standing before God? You're standing here and the Ten Commandments are standing over there. I mean, if that was the only thing there was, what would you have to say? If you knew what the Ten Commandments were. And so it is that he said here, here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. As I may so say, Levi also who received tithes paid tithes in Abraham. Now, Levi was a descendant of Abraham. And so being in the loins of Abraham as the seed really of all men are in Adam, are they not? I mean, when Adam was created, the seed of all his posterity was in him. And so he's saying here, the sons of Levi, though they weren't physically present, yet when Abraham paid tithes, they are as those who paid tithes themselves. Because why? They are descendants of Abraham. And so consequently, they owed the money and paid the money. So they said, so he's showing the superiority of the fact that even those who now are commanded by the law of a carnal commandment to receive tithes, they actually paid tithes. Because that's all that the law can cause you to do, is to pay and pay and pay. And it can give you nothing in return. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, and I'm going to close with this. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now, if what the Levites had was a perfect priesthood, is what he's saying there, why did another priest have to come along? Because there was no perfection in the Levitical priesthood. Never was intended to be. Though the Lord looked upon these things at the time because of the purpose that he had for them, and he said, these things are good, I want you to do them, yet they were temporary. Everything about that which Moses had was temporary. It was not eternal. It was carnal. And he said if perfection came by that, then there wouldn't be the need for another priest to rise after the order of Melchizedek. Now again, what was Melchizedek, the order of his priesthood? It's that he's a priest forever. That's the order of Melchizedek. So he said it was necessary that this one should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called by the office of Aaron. Nothing in the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ is tied to the carnal commandment given to Moses, because it is a perfect priesthood. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Now, covenant theologians would not like that. They don't like that verse. That's got to mean something else, doesn't it? But it means exactly what it means. Because there is a priest who is our priest, who is not after the law of a carnal commandment, then it is of necessity that the law must be changed. Because the law that made the Levitical priesthood stand as the priest of God can't stand at the same time that this more perfect priesthood does. I mean, God doesn't have two priesthoods. He has one. Always has. There was never a time when the Levitical priesthood was the priesthood of God. Never was. The priesthood of God has always been after the order of Melchizedek. But he used the law to demonstrate the righteousness of Christ and the wickedness of men. That's exactly why he came. For the priesthood being changed. Dear brethren, do we have any doubt that the priesthood has changed? I mean, do we expect that there's some other priest that comes to us because the law said he was a priest? Do we think he has any sway or help to give to us? Not at all. There's made also, if that be true, a necessity of change of the law. Because you can't keep the law. You can't hold on to the law and hold on to the priest, who's an order after the order of Melchizedek, because he arises completely upon another basis. May the Lord give us a mind to contemplate upon that. You see, we don't serve Christ out of the law of a carnal commandment. Paul said, all things are lawful to me. Now, that starts making people get worried, especially those that worship and serve the law of carnal commandments. Because they're of the mind that if all things are lawful to us, oh my goodness, that just means we're just people who can just go off and do whatever they want to. Well, they can in a measure. But you see, all things, Paul said, are lawful to me, but he said not all things are expedient. So you see, God's people are under a law, but it's the law of expediency. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is that which brought us the Levitical priesthood. But the power of an endless life is that which we have in Christ. And while all things are lawful to me, not all things are expedient. Not all things are useful. Not all things are good. And we can learn much about things that are good by reading the law of a carnal commandment, can we not? Well, sure you can. It's just that that law of a carnal commandment is merely that. But you see, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is that law under which we serve God. And so a man who is indwelt by the Spirit of God is taught a more clearer picture of what it is that God expects of His people than ever could under the law of Moses. And not only that, but you see, He's constrained unto these things by the work of that same Spirit whom the Scripture says He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So may the Lord give us a mind today to cast our thoughts upon the One who is that priest forever. Because it's here in these tokens of bread and wine that we remember the functionality and the effectuality of that which the Lord Jesus Christ has performed. For His body was broken for us and His blood was poured out. Now the carnal commandment required that a sacrifice be made. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't make a sacrifice because the carnal commandment said it. He made the sacrifice because He was a priest. And that's what priests do. And He offered not for the sins of Himself, but for the sins of His people. Because He is that perfect high priest. And He came that we might have eternal life. And He poured out His blood because in the shedding of blood is the remission of sin. According to the purpose of God. That He might show us, that He might demonstrate to us what it is that He did for us. Because you see, to a man there's nothing more important than this life. I mean, we'll do anything we can to hold on to it. You know, when a man is sick, he's fighting for every breath that he has because that life's important to him. And we'll do everything we can to sustain and support life. The Lord Jesus Christ, being a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, willingly and gladly laid down His life. He just put it out there. And lest we forget what He did, we have the symbols of the bread and the wine that we might know that His body was broken and His blood was poured out. Because in the blood is the life. The life is in the blood, is what the Scripture says. So what do we see here before us? The death of Christ. For our sake. He gave Himself. But He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So it was not possible that even death itself should be the end of His priesthood. But He ever liveth to make intercession for them that come unto God by Him. And that's what we come here today to remember.